Jesus asked, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." Or to you and me today, what do you have already? This question came to me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about a Sunday school assignment. Zena asked us to think about where we might have thin places. This is a Celtic understanding that there are some places in our lives and our days where we might feel closer to God, that we can have a closer encounter with Him. So I was thinking about this. I was like, oh, I'll pay attention this week, and so I'll have a really good answer when I come back to Sunday school next week. Yeah, maybe it'll be when I'm on a forest trail or when I'm sitting in a comfy chair reading the Bible. And then I checked my Facebook page. And on my Facebook page, in Sunday school, Jane goes, your thin space is on Facebook. I saw a TED Talk. I was watching this TED Talk. It was actually a little complicated and a little boring. There were these two students who were studying the properties of this bacteria that was capable of digesting phthalates from plastics that were polluting the rivers. So they found out that the problem, these plastics, and the solution were both right there in their rivers. And they were able to genetically engineer the same chemicals that this bacteria had to break down this pollution. The problem and the solution were in their own backyard. These students found a possible solution to a local problem right where they lived. Right then, that video did become a thin space to me, because I started having a conversation with God in my heart. I said, "Wow, God, how cool it is that you saw this pollution problem and provided an answer right under our noses. I wonder how often your provision is already right there, and we just don't see it yet." Then God asked me, "What do you have?" "What do you mean, God?" I struggled to think of the right answer. You want to answer correctly. I didn't really feel like I had an answer, because first I thought of easy things. That wasn't what he was getting at. And then I thought about the story of the ordinary boy with his ordinary lunch and the extraordinary feeding of the 5,000. As I thought about God's question, I realized that there is no one right answer. That boy didn't wake up that morning and pray, "God, what do you want me to do with my life today? What do I need to pack in my lunch?" He just went about his regular day, bringing with him his meager barley loaves and some fish. And then, when the multitude needed feeding, Jesus used his available lunch to do a miracle to provide for them all. After that day, the boy did not spend the rest of his life carrying around 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had a pretty good story he could carry along with him. What I have is my ordinary life and all that goes into living that life. And now I have a new appreciation for the value of that ordinary life. When we give freely out of our ordinary life to God, then he uncovers what we already have that can meet the needs that we run across along our way.
And there's something in that biblical text. There's something in that biblical text that we fall prey to. Did you hear it? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, when Jesus says, "What do you have?" Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, says, "Well, there's this little boy with loaves and fish, but of what value are those?" Hear it? He devalues the little. We do the same. We look at what we have and say, "But God, it's not grand and it's not glorious. It's not enough. All I have is something that's not even really the best it could be. It's barley loaves. That's a cheap grain that nobody would eat. It's barley loaves, and it's those dried fish, cheap fish that I caught myself." We look at what we have and we devalue it. What if the little boy had said, oh, this isn't very good. It's not fancy. I'll hide it away. People would have gone hungry. And the same thing is true if you and I devalue what we have. God has given you what you have on purpose. It is not to be devalued. It is to be celebrated. Because when we put ordinary things in the master's hands, little becomes much. That's the story of the little boy. He didn't devalue it, and he didn't hide it, and he didn't compare it to what everybody else might have had. I am willing to bet you, if there were 5,000 people, somebody had a picnic basket with a silver candelabra. I'm confident they were headed for Ravinia, and they got waylaid. I'm sure that picnic basket was there. He could have seen it, and he could have said, what I have is not good enough. But he didn't. In fact, the notion of enough never entered his mind. He took what he had and he offered it. What if the notion of enough never entered our minds? What if we even understood that we only have a little, that we only have a part, so that God keeps us humble and reminds us that we need each other and we need God? What if the little that you have is the final piece to the puzzle? That's what was true. Ted read it. In the Johannine text, Jesus asked the question, but it said he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that little boy was there and that his meager lunch was enough. Beloved, whatever God has given you, it is enough. You are enough. Don't fall prey to this self-help culture we're in where you've always got to be better and be stronger and be bigger and have a cape and scale buildings at abounding. No, you are enough as you are. And I can prove it, CCB. Those of you who've been here longer than I remember that when we were married together as pastor and congregation, we had about 25 active members. We had to kind of scrape, Clark, to get like 10 pews covered. But we did it. That was enough. It was enough long before I got here to keep the church strong. It was enough to have heart and hope that you weren't finished. It was enough to go out and find someone who longed to be with you. It was enough to begin to build to where we are today. And it's enough to go beyond here, just like that little boy's lunch. It may not look like the finest church. It may not look like the biggest church. It may not look like the best of anything, but in Christ's hands, we are enough. And it ripples out. Who knows, Elaine, but that there was not somebody in that space who was about to die of starvation, that they had never had enough. And you heard that everybody ate until they were satisfied. Everybody ate until they were filled. There was a ripple effect because he trusted God with his little, with what he had in his hands. What he had in his hands was enough.
All that we are, all that we have, comes from God. Then we can just be ourselves and look for opportunities in our regular lives. An example of this in my life is I get up and I go to my job. I'm an art teacher, and I may think I'm just going for a regular day, but what I find in the carrying out and the conversations of my art class, that space can suddenly become something more. A little over a week ago, I had a young student. She's about 7. She just piped up, you know, kids spontaneously speak up often. But this was a concern in her heart. She said, my mom had to have chemotherapy treatment today, so someone else is going to pick me up when I get home. She's going to be sicker, but then she'll feel better again until her next treatment. My art class and I did not make her reality different, but she was heard. And someone else knew what it was that she was talking about. She could share her reality, and someone even a little bit understood. God provided that child a little comfort in the midst of a regular day. That's how God uses the ordinary. He wants us to use exactly what we already have. The disciples weren't sent to spend over 6 months' wages on not even enough bread. They were asked how many loaves they already had. And Jesus took what they offered and made it more than enough. Maybe the question, what do you have, is a way that God shows us, that he reveals to us his provision for and in and through us. When there's a need, look for what you might have to offer. Go and see.
What do you have? Not what can you go get. Not what can you construct. Not what can you find. What do you have? Yesterday, when I flew in, we were on a tiny plane. The winds were buffeting us around. And two seats behind me was an elderly woman who was frightened. You could hear her exclamation during the plane when we jumped, when we bounced up and bounced down. Every time we hit a rough passage of air, the pilot came on reassuring us that we were good, and it actually was a little overkill. It's like, you have to reassure me one more time, I'm going to begin not to believe you. I'm a veteran flyer, and he made me worry. So this woman two seats behind me, I'm too tall to stand up, and the plane is bouncing too much, so I begin to pray for her. When we land, and there were applause when we landed, I popped up and literally almost stepped on the man's glasses behind me because he was on the same mission. He turned around and said to her, I want to help you. You've been such a good flyer. Can I help you with your bag? Because she was shaking. I saw it as we got off. He was gracious. He was kind. He chatted with her. He made her smile. He told her I almost broke his glasses. And as we got off this tiny little plane, he had her arm, and they put her in a wheelchair, and he went off. He was trying to catch a connection. I gathered myself together to sort of walk slowly with her to be sure she was okay. She was fine. She was telling the person who met her that God had sent her an angel, that she wouldn't have made it through that flight if he hadn't continued, apparently, to look over his shoulder and smile at her. She wouldn't have made it if he hadn't helped her carry her bag. He was that little boy with his lunch. It was nothing that he did other than to use the ordinary experience of that flight to be present for this woman that I bet he'll never see again. What do you have? Some in here find it easy to strike up conversation. You have the ability to speak to people and to read them and to be present for them. Some in this place have the ability to teach and know how to help the body move through. Some are empaths and don't even have to hear the words that people speak, but you can be present. Some in here know how to just make people laugh. It's not what you create, it's what you have. You may be a couponer. I am not. But if you have extra coupons, you can take them to the grocery store. And when you don't use them, turn around and bless the person behind you. Somebody in here may have so many apples at harvest time that you don't know what to do. Bake an extra pie and take it to the food pantry. There are so many things that we have, not that we need to find. I'll never forget the story that Lucia Beth told Clark. It was the story of a missionary who used to travel the world. And then she became infirmed and could not. But then she prayed, wrote cards to all of those missionaries that she knew. And then she couldn't write, and so she prayed for them. And then when she was so weak she couldn't pray, she would just hum and ask the Spirit to take the music to them. She used what she had. What do you have? Beloved, God promises to give each of us gifts and each of us opportunities. What do you have? Will you be open to what God wants you to do? Will you take just what you have, like a little boy's lunch, and look for the opportunities to share it.
If you don't know what you have, just be available. Really show up to this life that God gave you. So God doesn't bless me and value me just so I can go off on my own and not care about anyone but myself. The boy didn't muscle down his lunch to keep Jesus from having it. To be available is to be unselfish and accessible. Really, what I have might seem quite small. Surely someone else has more to offer. I might be tempted to hang back. But to be available is to be brave and to be ready. My little could become smaller still if I hoard it and not share it. My little is enough. To be available is to be generous. My little, God uses our little to remind us that we need him. And to show us, to put our little together with the little of others and how great that can be, especially when God multiplies our efforts. To be available is to be connected. I am delighted to make my whole ordinary life available to God so he can use it for his good purposes. He already knows what I have anyway. He gave it, and he cares for it, and he cares for me. Now I want to be ready to give it back to him. I want to go and see what it is that can be used at each opportunity and cooperate with God in whatever way I fit. How will you fit? To be available is to learn to recognize in that moment what you already have that meets a need.
Jesus looked out on the people, and it says he was compassionate, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In this moment, from wherever the Divine One is, he looks out on us. He is our shepherd, but he's still compassionate. He's compassionate as he whispers into your ear, I love you. You're mine. I know what you have. It's your smile. It's your time. It's your heart. It's your laughter. It's your prayer. It's your touch. It's your arms made wide. Beloved, think of a time when someone offered you something not special, not a gift. Might have been that phone call that came at the right moment to encourage you. It might have been that card that came in the mail that made you laugh. It might have been that bump into somebody who simply said, you look beautiful today. It might have been that moment when you heard a song that lifted your spirit and turned to find somebody humming it. It might have been the touch of a hand that you shook that you didn't expect. Remember an ordinary moment when somebody's ordinary action lifted your heart. God calls us to be available, to look for those moments when we too can stand in that place and offer the ordinary. Will you? Will you seek to be available? Will you know that your lunch, whatever that represents or however meager or small it is to not be devalued, but is to be lifted and celebrated? Will you? Will you, like the little boy, come forward and say, this is what I have in my hands? And don't worry if you don't know the outcome. Don't worry if you can't see the 5,000 fed. Know that in Kairos time, in God's time, nothing is lost in the divine economy of God. What you offer to the Master will not come back void, but will bless and sustain and enrich. But it's only available if, as my sister said, we make our whole ordinary lives available to the one who longs What do you think? What do you have? Let's pray. Our God, the story of the little boy is powerful, for he stands in opposition to the disciples who could not see the miracle in what he had. He stands in opposition to a culture that says, hide it unless it's shiny and great. But he stands in the authenticity of a heart that is available and made open to share. Show us what's in our hands. Remind us that it changes from day to day and circumstance to circumstance. But whatever we have, in whatever moment we find ourselves, you are able to bless and use. God, may we with willing hearts open wide our hands that you might use whatever we have. Bless us, our God. Please, we pray in your Son's name. Amen.